grace and peace from the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you now and forevermore. Amen. We thank the God of all grace who has given us today to come and fellowship with him. And the Lord God Almighty bless all of you, even as you are watching us live via YouTube. This morning, your life will never be the same. God will meet you at the point of your need. Amen. We want to take some scripture readings. Our first scripture reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. We'll also be reading from Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. And our last scripture reading will be read from Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. So I'm taking from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 4 from the New King James Version. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Amen. We are also taking it from Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. As I looked, I heard the voice of a lot of angels around the throne, and the voices of the living creatures and the elders. There were millions and millions of them, and they were saying in a loud voice, "The Lamb was killed is worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise." Hallelujah. Our last scripture reading is taken from Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. Taking this one from the New International Version. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of a jasper and a ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Hallelujah. This morning, the title of the message that the Lord wants to give to his church is "The Glorious Jesus is Still Sitting on the Throne." The Glorious Jesus is still sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. Beloved, the throne is a symbol of power. The throne is a symbol of authority. The throne is very important because it is part of the redemption and the creative work of God. The throne is very, very important in the life of the believer. As the Bible says in Revelation, out of the throne comes power. Out of the throne comes peace. Out of the throne comes strength. Out of the throne comes glory. From the throne emanate praise. From the throne emanate honor. This morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus, receive the glory, the power, the strength, and the honor from the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. The throne is very, very important. Isaiah saw the throne of God. And when he saw the throne of God, the Bible said that he was able to see the sovereignty. He was able to see the holiness and the mercy of the one who sits on the throne. This morning, may you receive the holiness and the mercy of the Lord God Almighty. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. The throne also gave Isaiah things concerning the angels of God. How humble the angels of God are. How obedient the angels of God are. And how devoted they are to the things of God. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that this morning we will be humble before him. This morning we will be obedient to the work of God that he has trusted into our hands. This morning our devotion, our commitment will be increased. Hallelujah. So he saw how the angels were very humble, how the angels were very obedient, and how they served the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Isaiah said that in the year that King Hosea died, he saw the Lord. Isaiah was a prophet. He was a prophet, according to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, who prophesied in and around Jerusalem within a time span of about 740 BC. Isaiah preached in the reign of about four kings: King Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, and King Hezekiah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that in the reign of King Uzziah, Isaiah was able to become commissioned to the work of God. And the Bible said that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said he saw the Lord. Who is this King Uzziah? If you want to know about this King Uzziah, you can read 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and also 1 Kings chapter 15. But in the 1 Kings, the name of Uzziah is Azariah. So when you are reading about Azariah, it's the same as King Uzziah. King Uzziah, the father was Amaziah. So Isaiah was saying that the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. King Uzziah became king at the age of 16 years. 16 years. And he ruled for 52 years in the land of Judah. 52 years. In fact, apart from David, Solomon, and Saul, who ruled for a very long time, King Uzziah happens to be one of the few kings in Judah who ruled for a very long time. This king was a king who did a lot of things. When he became king, the Bible said that the first thing that he did, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, chapter 26, verse 4 to 5, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he also sought the Lord. And because he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he sought the Lord, the Bible said that God made him to prosper. God made him to receive success. Beloved, prosperity and success is only enshrined in the Lord. Hallelujah. So at one point in time, God gave an instruction to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. That Joshua, if you meditate upon this book of the law day and night, then Joshua, I the Lord, I will be with you. And I will make sure that you will prosper and have a good success. This morning, may you prosper in everything that you do. This morning, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So when Uzziah became king, the Bible said that he prospered. And the reason of his prosperity is because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he also sought the Lord. Hallelujah. King Uzziah was not an ordinary king because God gave him a lot of victory, a lot of military victory. He was able to subdue the Philistines. In fact, King Uzziah was able to capture the Philistines' cities like Gath and then Ashdod. We know that Gath was the city of the Philistines where Goliath came from. And Ashdod was a popular city during those days. Ashdod could be compared to Toronto. Ashdod could be compared to Paris. Ashdod could be compared to New York. It could be compared to London. It was a very great city to the Philistines. This was the place that the Philistines had their god called Dagon. So the temple of Dagon was in Ashdod. And God gave military victory to Uzziah. And therefore, Uzziah was able to conquer Ashdod and then establish territory in the land of the Philistines. Beloved, if we will seek the face of the Lord, if we are going to be right in the eyes of the Lord, if you will be holy and do what the Lord is asking us to do, beloved, we will have a lot of victories. May we have victories in the name of Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So the man was very victorious in terms of military strength. When you read the scripture, the Bible says that he was able to establish about 305,700 military men. He fortified the city. Uzziah was the first man who was able to establish towers that can be able to shoot arrows. It means that atomic bombs and missiles were being designed in the days of Uzziah. So he was not a common king. The man was an energetic man. He was a builder and he was a planner. Beloved, during his reign, Uzziah was even able to establish a lot of domestic facilities. He was able to establish irrigated systems that was able to water the land. So even in times of drought, the people still have water to even to do farm. Animals were getting water to drink. So the man was a very good leader. He was very strong, and the people liked him so much. His fame spread all over the nation. Everybody was talking about Uzziah. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 8, it reads, his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. So this was the man that we were talking about. Everybody was talking about him. How he became very famous everywhere. Everybody, he was a very good leader. He was a national hero. The people loved him so much. And as a result of that, they put their trust in him. The people relied on him. They knew that for so long as Uzziah is there, the nation will continue to enjoy peace. Hallelujah. But as I told you, the secret of all this lasting prosperity and peace that Uzziah and the people of Judah enjoyed is because he sought the Lord. It's because he was right in the eyes of the Lord. If the church of God, if the people who are called by my name, will do what is right, the Lord will always cause us to become victorious. Hallelujah. A glorious church will always do things which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. But the sad thing is that when the man became very famous, when the man became very prosperous, the man also became very proud. He was very proud, and therefore he did what he was not supposed to do. What did he do? He entered into the place of sacrifice, the sanctuary, and then he burned incense. Incense and sacrifices were only burned, or it was an exclusive duty of the priests. Nobody was supposed to do that, but he did it. Even before he was going to burn the incense, people told him that don't do it because you are not the one who is supposed to do it. But he did not mind them. He went ahead and then he burned the incense on the altar of incense. And the Lord's anger came on him and he became leper. So leprosy was all over him, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And therefore they isolated him. They isolated him and then put him in a very solitary place until the time that he died. Beloved, what the Lord has not asked us to do, we don't need to do it. We should only be very faithful in the things that the Lord has entrusted into our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So when he died, it means that the future of the people is in jeopardy. Everybody is now worried. The hero is dead. There is a national crisis. There is a problem. Where are we going to get this sustained irrigated water system? Where are we going to get all these things that we get now? The Bible said that there was a national crisis. And I believe that Isaiah was also very worried at that time, because the man who during his reign there is peace all over the land, he's no longer there. He's no longer there. So it means that there is going to be chaos as time progresses. So Isaiah was very disillusioned. Isaiah was very discouraged. He thought that the throne is empty. Nobody is sitting on the throne. The throne has become vacant. Oh, what is coming on us? Isaiah was very worried. But in his moment of despair, in his moment of confusion, in his moment of darkness, as he was wandering in his mind, the Bible said that the heavens opened unto him, and he realized that the throne of a man, the earthly throne, can be empty, but Jesus Christ still sits on the throne. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne. The throne can be empty, but our Jesus is still sitting on the throne. This tells us that there is a throne in heaven, and someone is sitting on it. And the one sitting on it is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Beloved, this is a central truth in the Bible, that there is an occupied throne in heaven. The throne in heaven is not empty. And the one who is sitting on that throne is your Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is sitting on that throne is my Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is sitting on that throne is our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is not sitting on a chair. Anybody can sit on a chair. But when we talk about thrones, kings sit on thrones. Judges sit on thrones. Thrones are a symbol of authority and prosperity. So if judges sit on a throne, if kings sit on a throne, so Queen Elizabeth II of United Kingdom, she sit on a throne. The king of Morocco sit on a throne. The Sultan of Brunei sit on a throne. The king of Ashanti Kingdom sit on a throne. So when you are a king, you sit on a throne. And judges also sit on a throne. So if there is a throne in heaven, and Jesus Christ is sitting on that throne, then all that it means is that Jesus Christ is a king. Hallelujah. So your Jesus is the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Your Jesus is a judge. So a time is coming that all of us will appear before the bema seat of Jesus Christ. And he, being the judge, will sit in his throne, and then he will judge the world. Hallelujah. So the throne was not empty. The throne was being occupied. So when Isaiah was very confused, God told him that the earthly throne could be empty, but I, the Lord, am still sitting on the throne. Beloved, in this crisis that we find ourselves in, the Lord Jesus Christ is still sitting on the throne. If he's sitting on the throne, then it means that he's still sovereign, and he will continue to be sovereign, and then he will rule forever. Hallelujah. That is why this song that we, the Pentecostal, we sing is very interesting. Say that, from everlasting you are God, to everlasting you are God. You are still the sovereign Lord. You change not. So if you, without corona or with corona, Jesus Christ is still sovereign and he still rules. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that this morning may the heavens open unto you so that you will see the glorious Jesus sitting on his throne. Hallelujah. And when you see him, you will know that he is reigning. When you see him, then you know that he's still in charge. He's still in control. Beloved, Jesus is in control over everything that is going on. That is why this morning, let your heart be at peace and look at him, because faithful is he who has called you. Hallelujah. Beloved, it is not only Isaiah who saw the throne. So many people in the Bible also saw the throne. And when they saw the throne, they gave their own interpretations. This morning, I pray to the Lord God Almighty that you will see the throne by yourself. And as you see Jesus Christ on your throne, you will also give your own description of how the throne of God looks like. Let us see a few couple of people who saw the throne and then how they describe the throne that they saw. The first one is Prophet Micah. Prophet Micah saw the throne of God, and this is how he describes it. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19. 1 Kings 22, 19. And I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. So when Prophet Micah saw the throne, he saw the throne with Jesus Christ sitting on it, with the Lord sitting on it, and angels were standing around him left and right. So this was the description that Prophet Micah saw. This morning, may you receive an angelic visitation this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, Job also saw the throne of God, and this was his description. In Job chapter 26, verse 9, he said, God covers the face of his throne and spread his cloud over it. So he said that in the King James, he said that God covers the face of his throne. So as you look at the sky, Job is saying that that is the throne of God. But God has covered the sky with a cloud. That is his description. The sons of Korah also saw the throne. And this is their description. The sons of Korah, we know Korah. Korah was a man who instigated rebellion against Moses when they were in the wilderness. And the Bible said that the earth opened its mouth and it swallowed all of them. So a remnant remained who are called the sons of Korah. And this is how they also saw the throne. And this is their description. Let us see it from Psalm 45, verse 6. The sons of Korah. They said that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. So they were saying that the throne of God is forever. It means that the throne of God is eternal. The throne of Asante in Otumfuo is going to come to an end. The reign or the throne of Queen Elizabeth is going to come to an end. Every earthly throne is going to come to an end. But the throne that Jesus Christ is sitting on it is forever and ever. Hallelujah. So that was their description. Also, in Psalm 47 verse 8, they say that God reigns over the nation seated on his holy throne. So they say that it is not only that the throne of God is eternal, but the throne of God is also holy. Hallelujah. The throne of God is also holy. Now let us look at this man to Ethan the Israelite, the Ethan. This man was regarded as a very knowledgeable, very wise man. He described the throne as this, Psalm 89, verse 14. He said that justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. So he described the throne of God as a place of judgment. And the judgment that emanates from the throne of God is always a righteous judgment. There is no any partiality with regard to the judgment of God. So this was also how Ethan also described the throne. Then let's look at Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, how he also described the throne. He said this in Lamentation chapter 5, verse 19. He said, but Lord, you remain the same forever. Your throne continues from generation to generation. So Jeremiah said that the throne of God is forever. It does not change. God is the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His throne is also the same. He does not change. Then Isaiah, Ezekiel. Last time I spoke about Ezekiel when he was at the river Kabar, and the heavens opened unto him, and then he saw the Lord sitting on the throne. This was his description. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 26 and Ezekiel chapter 10 verse 1. He said that I looked and I saw the likeness of a throne of lapis lazuli above the vault that was over the heads of the cherubims. So Isaiah said, Ezekiel said that the Lord dwell in the midst of the cherubim, the throne of God. He's seated in the midst of the cherubims. And the throne is very colorful with this mineral called lapis lazuli. It's a gemstone. Gemstone, very, very beautiful stone. Very beautiful stone, very precious stone. This was his description. Then David, we know that David was sitting on a throne. David was sitting on a throne. And even Jesus Christ is regarded as a descendant of David. The Bible said that I'm going to give you the throne of your father David. So David was sitting on the throne. So David himself was a king. So he knows how thrones are and the description of it. So he also saw the throne of God. And let us see how he also described it. David said this in Psalm 9 verse 4. He said that you have sat on a throne judging righteously. So David said that God is sitting on a throne, and the judgment that emanates from that throne is a righteous judgment. Hallelujah. Beloved, you are serving a righteous judge. Hallelujah. You are serving a righteous judge. You are not serving an earthly judge who will pervert justice. The Lord always makes sure that everything that emanates from his throne is always righteous. Hallelujah. The same place David in Psalm 9 verse 4. He said that he has prepared his throne. He has prepared his throne for judgment. So as I said, the throne of God is a place of judgment. David still continues in Psalm 11 verse 4. He said that the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. So David was saying that the throne that Jesus Christ is sitting on, it is not on earth. It is in heaven. So your Jesus is in heaven. He is not on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Then my own friend Daniel also saw the throne. And this was his description in Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. He said that I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair as white and pure as wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. So Daniel was saying that if you see the throne of God, the throne of God, beloved, the throne of God is like fire. Fire is around it. Fire is around it. It's like a flame of fire. It's like a flame of fire. This is the throne that, beloved, we have. That someone known as glorious Jesus is sitting on it. There is fire around the throne. So it is not a common throne. It is a very wonderful throne. And Apostle John, this is what I love so much. He also saw the throne. He also saw the throne. And in Revelation chapter 2, sorry, Revelation chapter 4 verse 2, he said that at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. So John also gave the description of the throne of God. But he said that he saw the throne in heaven and someone was sitting on it. And that someone is the glorious Jesus Christ. And John said that around the throne that Jesus is sitting on it, there is also other 24 thrones. So other 24 thrones is around the throne that Jesus Christ is sitting on it. And that 24 thrones, we have 24 elders who are also sitting on those 24 thrones. And John explained that these 24 elders, they were wearing white clothes, or white clothes made of linen. And then he said that they were wearing a golden crowns. And it was so interesting that he said that this throne that is in heaven that he saw, there was also four living creatures that encircle around the throne. And these four living creatures, they have eyes all over their body. So interesting. Perfection of God. Perfection of God. And he described these four living creatures and said that one of them has the face of a lion. The other one has the face of an ox. And the other one also has the face of an eagle. And the other one also has the face of a man. It talks about the strength, the humility, and the perfect nature of our glorious Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then he went on to explain and said that before the throne, there is a crystal clear river, which is like a glass, beautiful. And then he explained that as he looked, from the throne comes out rumblings and thunderings. Beloved, it's not a joke. Very wonderful throne. Very wonderful throne. And then he said that these four living creatures, all of them will sing, "Holy, holy, 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 holy is the Lord." And then when they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," all of a sudden, the 24 elders, all of them will bow down and then they will lay their crowns down and then they will worship the Lord God Almighty. This is the man who has called us. Even angels even bow to him and worship him. What sacrifice are you giving to the Lord this morning? So this was the throne that Isaiah also saw. And he said that when he was looking at it, he saw that there were seraphims around the throne. And then these seraphims, as John also saw in the form of the four living creatures, were also saying, "Holy, holy, 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 holy is the Lord." And when they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," these seraphims were so powerful that their voice is able to shake the foundation of heaven. So interesting. It talks about the power of God. About the power of God. It's able to shake the foundations. And all of a sudden, Isaiah said that he saw a smoke all over the place that fills the temple. Beloved, as the last time I explained to you, the smoke of God in the olden days in Exodus chapter 13 was when the Lord was leading the Israelites from Egypt to through the promised land. The Lord was leading them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So the smoke of God symbolizes the presence of God. Now, after the Israelites have traversed, and then they came to Mount Sinai, and the Lord was now entering into a covenant with them through the giving of the Ten Commandments. The Bible said that the whole mountain was also filled with smoke. Hallelujah. Was filled with what? Smoke, the presence of God. And during the dedication of the temple, we realized that the temple was also being filled with smoke. The temple was also being filled with smoke. And even the priest could not even execute their priesthood duties. This is what happens in heaven. I pray that this morning, as you are listening to me at the sound of my voice, may the presence of God fill the place that you are. Everywhere that you are, may you experience the presence of God. May you experience the power of God. May you experience the grace of God. May you experience the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Beloved, I want to bring the message to an end. Isaiah said that when he saw this, he said that woe unto him. Beloved, you cannot see the glory of God. You cannot see the presence of God. You cannot encounter Jesus Christ and be the same. Beloved, Jesus Christ is still sitting on the throne. The throne that he's sitting on it is an eternal throne. The throne that he's sitting on it is a righteous throne. The throne that he's sitting on it is a holy throne. Hallelujah. Beloved, you know something? There is this theory of people who believe in atheism, the atheists, and then materialistic people, materialism. What they believe is that there is no throne. There is no throne. So if they are saying that there is no throne, then all that they are saying is that there is no power or authority that the universe will answer to. So they do whatever that they want to do because they have nobody to answer to. But we are serving a God. We are serving a God who sits on the throne. We are serving a God that there is fire around his throne. We are serving a God that the angels that bow before him and say, holy, holy, holy. When they say that, even the foundations shake. And then the whole place is filled with glory. Hallelujah. The Lord that we are serving is not a common person. So Isaiah said that even the train of his robe fills the whole temple. What does it mean? In the olden days, kings were wearing long rope, long train. And it is very difficult to work or maneuver through this train of rope that they were wearing. It's the same in our days. When somebody is doing a holy matrimony, a wedding, that person also wear a very long rope, long train. What does it mean? It means that at that particular day, that person is very special and he does not need to work. The maid have to work and make sure that everything is fine. Beloved, our God is honored. He is glorified. He is dignified. So his attendant, the angels, work for him. We pray that we will work for the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look at the passion that the angels sang, they sang for the foundations even to shake, the posts in heaven even to shake. I pray that we'll have this passion. So that when we stand and then we sing, people who are sick will be healed. Hallelujah. When we stand and then we sing, there will be deliverance. Hallelujah. When we stand and then we sing, freedom will be for the people. Hallelujah. This is the throne that we are talking about. Jesus Christ is still sitting on the throne. There is also this people called the secular humanists, humanism. For them, they believe that there is a throne. They believe that there is a throne, but someone is sitting on it. Someone is sitting on it. And that person is a human being. They believe that there is a throne. So they believe that we have a throne in the United Kingdom and somebody is sitting on it. And therefore, as the person leaves, another person comes and this thing will continue to be there forever and then ever. But we want to tell you this morning that there is a throne in heaven and that throne is Jesus who sit on it. Hallelujah. So, beloved, this morning, may the Lord God Almighty bless you. May he grant you peace and understanding in his word. That the throne of God, they say that fire is all over around the throne. So it means that out of the throne comes the light of God. It shines everywhere. May that light shine in your life this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That throne, there is rumblings and thunderings. It talks about the power of God. I pray that this morning, may the power of God fill your heart, O God. May you operate in the power of God so that every demonic activity will be silenced by the power of God. The Bible said at the mention of the name Jesus Christ, every knee bow and every tongue confess that he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Beloved, coronavirus also has a name. And that power that is in you, when you speak, may that power bow. Hallelujah. This morning you are going to speak and that power is going to bow. The presence of God was all over the place. Receive the presence of God and that presence of God is going to help you to know that Jesus Christ is still sitting on the throne.